onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom aleichem to all my white, pure-blooded Israelite brothers and sisters out there. All you Christians of Christian identity. Ah, yes, praise Yahweh. I'm Pastor Steve. This is Word for Word for Tuesday, August the 23rd, 2016. And our topic today is Leviticus chapter 14 and 15, and we'll see how that goes. 14 is a long chapter, 15 is not quite so long, but these are all fairly well straightforward laws about cleansing and skin disease again. A lot of the stuff. We're going to get into some of the commands that Yahweh gave to Moshe for when they come into the land of Canaan in this chapter. And then go into chapter 15. And it is more health laws. And it goes on to the end of this chapter 15, and that'll complete that, and we'll probably get into chapter 16 tomorrow, so on Wednesday. So let's get started here. Chapter 14 of Leviticus, verse 1. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, This shall be the law of the land of the man with a skin disease in the day of his cleansing, 2893 in your Strong's. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go forth from the camp, and the priest shall look, and if the blemish of the skin disease is healed in the man with the skin disease, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds, 6833, alive and clean. In other words, the birds that would be clean for a sacrificial offering. And cedar wood, that's 730. And the scarlet worm, 8144. And worm is 8438. And hyssop, 231. Verse 5. And the priest shall cause one of the birds to be slaughtered, pardon me, in a clay vessel over living 2416 water. That's water that's running and has life in it, like fish, not just a stagnant pool that accumulated. It needs to be good, fresh, clean, living water. Verse 6. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet worm, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was slaughtered over living water. And he shall, pardon me, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the skin disease 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let loose the living bird into the open field. Let me explain something here. The scarlet worm. I had discussed that before and gave the scientific name of that worm. It's what they made the scarlet dye from. And that it was very valuable. Very, very valuable. And that's why it was used in a lot of these ceremonies. It was used to make the dye for a lot of the stuff at the temple. Verse 8, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair. That's everything. Okay? Need I say more? All his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry 7 or 3, 4, 2, 7, tarry outside of his tent 7 days. Verse 9, but it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave off all his hair from his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, all his hair he shall shave off. Clean head. He shall wash his clothes, and also wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. Hair in those days tended to carry dirt and disease, living in desert conditions, etc., etc. Verse 10, and on the 8th day he shall take 2 he-lambs, 3, 5, 3, 2, without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb, 3, 5, 3, 5, of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals, which is a dry measure, of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with oil, and 1 log, 3/8, 4/9, of oil. That was a liquid measure, a log. Verse 11, and the priest that makes him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before Yahweh at the door of the tent of meeting. Not inside, at the door. Verse 12, and the priest shall take 1 he-lamb and offer it for a guilt offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before Yahweh. Verse 13, and he shall slaughter the he-lamb in the place where he shall slaughter the sin offering and the burnt offering, in the set apart place. As the sin offering is the priest, so is the guilt offering. It is most holy. Verse 14, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. This is also the process that was used to cleanse and anoint and set apart the priest. This is similar right here for this unanointed guy. Verse 15, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm, 3709, that's the hollow of the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger, seven times before Yahweh. The holy number seven again. Verse 17, and of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the blood of the guilt offering. Verse 18, and the remnant, 3498, of the oil that is in the priest's hands, he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. The priest shall make propitiation for him before Yahweh. Verse 19, and the priest shall offer the sin offering and make propitiation for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward, 3:10, he shall slaughter the burnt offering. Verse 20, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make propitiation for him, and he shall be clean. Verse 21, and if he is poor and cannot get so much, then he shall offer one he lamb for a guilt offering to be waved, to make propitiation for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. Verse 23, and he shall bring them the 8th day for his cleansing to the priest to the door of the tent of meeting before Yahweh. And the priest shall take the he lamb of the guilt offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before Yahweh. Verse 25, and he shall slaughter the he lamb of the guilt offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Verse 26, and the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. Verse 27, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before Yahweh. Verse 28, and the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the place of the blood of the guilt offering. Verse 29, And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make propitiation for him before Yahweh. There is a variation. It is not exactly the same. This is different. One little passage that's different. That's why you need to read it all. You can't gloss over it. Oh, it's all the same. Well, no. No, it's not. Verse 30. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get. Such as he is able to get, the one for the sin offering and the other for the burnt offering with the grain offering. And the priest shall make propitiation for him that is to be cleansed before Yahweh. This is the law of him in whom is the blemish of a skin disease, whose hand is not able to get that which pertains to his cleansing. In short, the guy was poor and couldn't afford one of the expensive animals. So Yahweh made provisions for the poor as well. Praise Yahweh. Let me get a little drink of water here. I'm getting a little dry. Verse 33. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe and to Aharon, saying, Verse 34, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the blemish of mold in the house of the land of your possession. Now these are the houses they're going to take from the Canaanites. That's what he's speaking of. Not houses that they build. These are captive houses. And he that owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is a blemish in the house. Verse 36. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes in to see the blemish, so that all is in the house not be made unclean. All the furniture, all the food, all the clothes, all the everything. Clean it out to the bare walls. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. Verse 37, and he shall look upon the blemish. And if the blemish is in the walls, 7023 of the house, with depressions 8258, greenish or reddish, which in appearance are lower than the surface of, the words surface of is in italics because it's added to make sense in English. Lower than the surface of, italics, wall of the wall. Then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. Verse 39. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and shall look, and if the blemish has spread in the walls of the house, verse 40. Then the priest shall command that they take away these stones in which the blemish is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city. That's their garbage pit and the things that they put the carcasses of dead, unclean animals that they couldn't eat or sacrifice. They had to have a place to dump stuff. verse 41. And they shall cause the house to be scraped 7106 within all around, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off 7096 outside of the city in an unclean place. Verse 42. And they shall take other stones and put them in place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar, and he shall plaster the house. Verse 43. And if the blemish comes again and breaks out in the house after they have taken away these stones, and after they have scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and if the blemish has spread in the house, it is a growing mold in the house. It is unclean. Verse 45, and he shall break down 5422, the house, the stones of it, and the timber of it, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. We have toxic mold today. If you breathe the spores, it causes all kinds of diseases, including death. This was a health thing that you could not live in a house that was formerly a Canaanite's and have this nasty stuff growing in the house. Because not only would it affect your house, if you were living there, you would carry some of the spores of this mold on your clothing and your body. It would settle on you. Couldn't help but do that. And if you went in somebody else's house, it could infect their home. So this was something that they did to stop the spread of this mold, this toxic mold, to other dwellings and buildings. Verse 46, moreover, he that enters the house all the while it is shut up shall be unclean until the evening, and he that lies down to sleep in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eats in the house shall wash his clothes. So you're not carrying this mold around. It's just health consciousness. Verse 48, and if the priest shall enter and look, and the blemish has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the blemish has been healed. 7495. In other words, they got it before it could get into the main body of the house, and they got the infected part torn out and discarded in a bad place. Now, with toxic black mold today, the regulations are that the hazmat team has to come in and tear out all the drywall, every bit of it, whether it has the mold on it or not. You have to tear out all the drywall because it settles in drywall, on the paper of the drywall, on papers that are in the house. So if you have a bunch of papers around and there's little spots of black on them, doesn't matter if they're valuable legal papers, they're going to be trashed. They're going to take them. Because black mold is highly toxic. We had black mold in the prison where I was locked up, and they just painted over it with black paint. and we had nothing but constant respiratory disease in that prison at Forest City, Arkansas. I'll name the prison. Forest City FCI below security. The police union, the officers union, almost had a strike over it, and they gutted everywhere they had to work. All the medical department was shut down over the black mold, and they took everything out of there. Now, see, they do it for them, but they'll let us die from it. You can hear me coughing all the time, and you wonder why? Well, think about that. So, verse 49, and he shall take to cleanse the house two birds and cedar wood and the scarlet worm and hyssop, verse 50, and he shall slaughter one of the birds in a clay vessel over living water, again, verse 51, and he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet worm and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slaughtered bird and in the living water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the living water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet worm. But he shall let the living bird go outside of the city into the open fields, and make propitiation for the house, it shall be clean. This is ceremonial cleanliness. You may live in it and still be clean according to the laws of Israel. If you live there, you can still go to the temple to worship, where you could not if you were living in an unclean house. And this is all very important to them. Verse 54. This is the law for all manner of blemishes of skin diseases and scabs, and for mildew in a garment and of a house, and for a swelling and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of skin diseases. And that ends chapter 14. The temple doesn't exist, and the Levitical priesthood has been replaced by the order of Melchizedek, by Yeshua. But this shows you the method that Yahweh was using while they were traveling around, and indeed even in the cities, when they settled in the cities and occupied these dwellings when they ran out these Canaanites. So verse 2, you can reference Matthew chapter 8 verse 4, Mark chapter 1 verse 44, Luke chapter 5 14, and 17:14 as well, two chapters and two verses. Here we go. I've got the name of that scarlet worm. Verse 4, the scarlet worm is the dried body of the female Cossus illicis. That's its scientific name, which yields this color for dyeing objects. And verse 10, a log is 2/3 of a pint liquid measure. So there we go. I had it in the chapter notes there. Let me get another little drink of water here, and we'll get into chapter 15. Check my time here. Oh, yeah. and chapter 15, verse 1, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe and to Aharon, saying, now this is going to get graphic, folks. This is what it says. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a running discharge, 2100, from his penis, 1320, now that literally means flesh, but in the connotation of this chapter and what it's saying, it is translated as the male organ. Because of his discharge, 2101, he is unclean. Now they're describing something here that sounds very much like the disease of gonorrhea. Okay? Verse 3, and this shall be his uncleanness in his discharge, whether his penis flows, 7325, with his discharge, or his penis is stopped up, 2856, from his discharge, it is his uncleanness. That nails it as gonorrhea. Those are the symptoms and the result of the sexual disease of gonorrhea, which is carried by sheep and goats and other things, and unclean women, harlots. That's how it is spread. So if he was with somebody that was not clean and he caught this is what happens. 4, every bed where he lies that has the discharge is unclean, and everything he sits upon shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that sits upon anything where he sat that has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. Verse 7, and he that touches the body of him that has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. Verse 8, and if he that has the discharge spits, 7556, upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. Verse 9, and whatever saddle he rides upon that has the discharge shall be unclean. Verse 10, and whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening, and he that carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. Verse 11, and whoever he that has the discharge touches without first rinsing his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. Verse 12, and the vessel of clay that he that has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. Boy, they realized how nasty that was, and they were real serious about it. I mean, you couldn't get near this guy. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Nobody would want anything to do with him. Verse 13, and when he that has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing. and wash his clothes, and bathe his body in living water, and shall be clean. Verse 14, and on the eighth day he shall take two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, and come before Yahweh to the door of the tent of meeting, and give them to the priest. Verse 15, and the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make propitiation for him before Yahweh for his discharge. Need another hit of water. Get a little dry. And where did I leave off here? Propitiation before Yahweh. 16. Now, I'll clarify this when I read this passage. And if any man's seed of lying, 7902, goes out from him, then he shall wash all his body in water and be unclean until the evening. The seed of lying here means to lie with sexually. So they're speaking of semen. Okay? That explains that. Verse 17, and every garment and every skin which the seed of lying is on shall be washed in water and be unclean until the evening. You have to wash all that stuff. Verse 18, the woman also with whom the man shall lie, 7901, with the seed of lying, 7902, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. Verse 19, and if a woman has a flow, 2100, and her flow is in her pudenda, 1320, a flow in her pudenda, 1320, is blood, that again is translated literally as flesh, but it is speaking of the female pudenda, the sexual area here, in context. She shall be put apart for 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. This is her menstrual flow. Verse 20, and everything she lies upon in her impurity, 5079, shall be unclean, and everything also that she sits upon shall be unclean. Verse 21, and whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathes in water and be unclean until the evening. And whoever touches anything she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. Verse 23, and if it is on her bed or on anything where she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. Verse 24, and if any man lies with her at all, 7901/7901, that's doubled, lies with her at all, and her impurity, 5079, is upon him, he shall be unclean for 7 days, and all the bed where he lies shall be unclean. That translates to him. If you have sex with a woman and she's on her menstrual time, you're unclean for 7 days. You should not do that. I'll comment on this a little bit later with a little story. Verse 25, and if a woman has a flow of her blood many days out of the time of her impurity, 5079, in other words, if she has an extended period of bleeding, or if it runs beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the flow of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her impurity. She shall be unclean. And there is the story. This is not the story I was going to tell at the end, but the woman that had a flow of impurity and just reached out and touched the tzitzit, the fringe of Yeshua's shawl, the big shawl with all the fringes on the corners. She just touched the tzitzit of that, and she was healed because of her faith. And Yeshua said he felt power go out of him, and he turned and looked at her and said, your faith has made you clean and has cleansed you. And that flow stopped. She had that flow for years. That's how powerful Yeshua Messiah is, just his presence. And we get to look forward to his coming back because we are his. Glory, glory. Verse 26, every bed where she lies all the days of her flow shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her impurity. Verse 27. And whoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. Verse 28, but if she be cleansed of her flow, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. Verse 29. And on the 8th day she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, and bring them to the priest to the door of the tent of meeting. Verse 30. And the priest shall offer one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make propitiation for her before Yahweh for the flow of her uncleanness. Verse 31. Thus shall you separate, 5144, the children of Israel from their uncleanness, so that they do not die in their uncleanness when they make unclean, 2930, my tabernacle, 4908, that is among them. The camp had to be clean. The people in it, surrounding, had to be clean because the tabernacle was in the center of the camp. Everybody camped around the tent of meeting, and with Yahweh's dwelling place in the very center. And if you were unclean in the camp ceremonially, you made unclean that tabernacle. That was a big thing, because when they were in the wilderness and that tabernacle was with them. Yahweh walked among them. Didn't see him, but he was there. And that's why all of this was so important. Not just for frivolousness. Yahweh was walking among them, and nothing unclean could be near Yahweh. Verse 32. This is the law of him that has a discharge, and of him whose seed of lying goes out from him and is made unclean by it, and of her that has the flow of her impurity, and of him that has a discharge of the man and of the woman, and of him that lies with her that is unclean. That's the end of the chapter and the end of Yahweh speaking. The sacrificial part of this chapter has been fulfilled, but the health laws and the sexual conduct laws still stand today. They have not been done away with. Only the blood sacrifice. We described a man with a penile discharge, probably gonorrhea, that it fits all the medical symptoms. bad business. Especially when they didn't have anything, really, any antibiotics like we have today to cure it. It was a major, it is very painful. It's a major thing. And a lot of these laws are unpopular today. People want to do whatever they want to do. We have people coming from foreign lands with all kinds of nastiness about them, spreading it. We have diseases. We have AIDS with the sodomites, the accursed homosexuals. And you don't want to touch anything or eat after somebody. Well, they say it's not transmitted like that, but then they lie about everything else. Why wouldn't they lie about that? Do you trust them? I don't. On verse 25, you can reference Luke chapter 8, 43 through 47. And now I'm going to tell you my little story. It's a tragic story. May make you angry. I know it does me. Even today, many years after the event. There was a family of Christian identity believers who followed Yahweh's laws by the name of Weaver. Randy and Vicky and their boy. They lived up in the mountains in Idaho to be set apart. They went so far as to build a separate little dwelling on their property, and it was called the Minstrel House. So when any of the females that lived there came into their time of the month, they went to live in that house to be separate from others, to not make unclean the dwelling place of the rest of the people there. They were that righteous, and they loved Yahweh and His laws that much. And Randy didn't want anything really to do with other races because he was a separatist. He and Vicky and their boy lived the Christian identity lifestyle. way back when. They knew the word. They lived it. And this offended some people, and Randy was set up by a so-called friend to do something that he was later cleared of in court. But the United States government, the same government that we have today, the Zionist occupational government, decided they were going to raid his house. And the dog barked. And they shot the dog. And the boy thought they were shooting at him and shot back, and they shot and killed Randy's young son, 13 years old. Then they proceeded to lay siege to Randy's cabin. And the mother, Vicki Weaver, had a little baby in her arms and was standing in the doorway, unarmed, carrying a baby in her arms, and the FBI sniper, Lon Horiuchi, blew her head off. This righteous Christian Israelite died for her beliefs. Lon Horiuchi was also the head of the sniper team in back of Waco, and when the women and children came out the back to escape the flames, they shot them down. And Lon Horiuchi was judged innocent. He did what he did in the line of duty, thus saith the Zionist occupational government courts. We are in times of Jacob's troubles right now, my Christian Israelite brothers and sisters. And this is what they will do to us. If you think things have died down, you think you have rights, it's time to wake up and smell the gunpowder and the blood. This government and its minions, those in uniform wearing badges, will cheerfully slaughter us because they have been told a lie and they believe it and their job depends on it and they get paid to do it, and they will cut us down without remorse or pity. Oh, the police are on our side. They are not. They are militarized. There are a few good law enforcement officers out there. Yes, there are some good ones. But they will be overrided by the vast, overwhelming majority of those that are strictly mercenaries. Power drunk, wearing the all-black ninja outfits. They don't know Yahweh. They don't call upon the name of Yahweh. That is kept from them by the masters of our physical Adamite and other race enemies that wear those uniforms. The military is the same way. Our faith in Yahweh will see us through. Some will fall. When the tribulation finally hits, we're in the time of troubles right now, preceding the tribulation. I urge you to prepare, not just physically, I ask you to pray to Yahweh and ask Him for His protection, not just for you and your own families, but for those of us in Israel today, true Israel, that believe, because we are going to need all of that. I do this nightly. It's not about me. It's about us. We need to start having the us mindset about all of our Israelite brothers and sisters, regardless of minor differences. We are born with our uniform on. And if you are a white nationalist or a separatist, the ultimate white separate nation is coming when Yeshua Messiah comes. We will rule as El, because that is what Israel means. Get right with our Creator, my brothers and sisters. I beg of you. Read the Scriptures, find His laws, and obey them, and we will be blessed. Come out of these Judeo-Christian churches and their apostasy, and be ye separate. And that's my message for today. I love you because you are my brothers and sisters. You are my kindred. And I will pray for you every day. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and I say Shalom Aleichem to you, my brothers and sisters, and God bless all.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads.